Hey, it's Eric G. Around the House is sponsored by Baldwin Hardware. For 75 years, Baldwin Hardware has been known for its first-class quality and craftsmanship in door and cabinetry hardware. As an alumnus of the Baldwin Hardware Design Council, I can say I have seen the details and quality from design to the finished product. If you're looking for a new style and old-world craftsmanship, I can tell you there is only one Baldwin Hardware. Check out what would look great in your home at baldwinhardware.com.
Everybody stop what you're doing, please!
When it comes to remodeling and renovating your home, there is no better show on your radio. This is Around the House with Eric G.
Where's the hammer?
From your back fence to the sidewalk, Eric will tell you how to keep it all in tip-top shape while helping you save a buck while doing it. If you like DIY projects, it takes a lot of practice to get good at it, and Eric is here to guide the way.
Is it on the... Go up on the other floor. Somebody go up there and stop the hammering.
All that and more on the fastest 2 hours of home improvement radio.
These are the wrong plans. These are the old plans.
Oh. Welcome to...
Stop it! Stop
Around the House with Eric G.
Welcome to Around the House with Eric G. This is where we talk home improvement coast to coast every single weekend. Thanks for joining us. I'm Eric G.
I'm Dane Vodder. And guess what? We don't only talk about this on the weekend. We got the podcast. We do stuff all week long.
You got it. And you can catch that anywhere you catch podcasts. But when in doubt, you can always head over to aroundthehouseonline.com where you'll find all that kind of information, including the podcast.
Absolutely. That's kind of our home base. That is where the podcast goes up very first and foremost. You can also go over to the Contact Us page, send us an email, and then we want you to do that if you're shy. If you're a little outgoing, give us a call here in the studio. We want to answer your question and get your voice on the radio. Our number, 971-233-8992.
We'll help you out, get that project going from start to finish, and you know something? That way, you're good to go from here on out. Man, it's been a wild week this week for, you know, and I've got a lot going on because we are just getting ready to start kind of filming for my National Association of Home Builders stuff because I'm going to be on the technology stage. So
it's that time of year where you've got all these shows coming up.
And we have new sponsors, which are trying to remember how everybody's been having problems getting stuff to them with COVID and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
It happens to me too, guys. I mean, I have, I'm literally waiting for pallets of stuff to show up for my house. Yeah.
And you've already got stacks of cabinets here in
the studio.
Oh,
I still got the bathroom stuff in the studio here too. So yeah, I literally have, I mean, I've got stuff coming from LG that's coming. I've got all, I,
it's my been
apps
coming.
Are, yeah. It, well, these guys, they're doing great. I love these guys. Because
saying in general.
Yeah, I know. Well, I mean, they were just a sponsor a week ago. So we just landed the sponsor for them for the stage. So that's awesome. But it's one of those things that it's been crazy trying to make everything fit together. And then I've got some other stuff coming from people that, you know, the latest new technology with CES being this last week.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those things that everybody's been geared up to that. And now these people have to get me the latest, newest stuff that's just coming out. They just announced this week. So I'm really kind of pushing that gamut. And a lot of that's my fault, but that's how this stuff works.
Well, it's just different. When you typically go to CES, it's all on display. Everything's right there in basically not necessarily one room, but one area. You can always go and look, but now they've got to send stuff to you so that you're able to actually look at it, review it, and use it.
Exactly. Well, speaking of CES, stick around for hour number two of the show today because that second half of the show is going to be my tour of CES and really what I'm seeing inside of it. And, you know, it's virtual this year, so I stepped inside and did a lot of recording of different presentations and stuff. So we'll be talking to our friends at Toto, Kohler, LG, Samsung, all these different guys and so much more. Of the latest and greatest, neatest stuff that's coming out. I mean, there's robots, there's robotic vacuums.
Yep.
There's a lot of stuff going on where your washer talks to your dryer. There's a lot of cool stuff. And one of the things that I thought was kind of interesting too, and I'll just kind of tease ahead with this for the next hour, you are seeing now manufacturers of appliances team up with, we're not going to really get into this too much because it's still kind of emerging technology, but you're seeing in the future now where that frozen food aisle is going to work with the Samsungs and the LGs of the world, and you will scan on your phone the box
as you pull it out. Yeah.
And it's going to turn the microwave over or your range over. You know, if it's the Stouffer's dinner, for instance, it's going to turn the range on to the exact temperature, and it'll be fine-tuned for that appliance to cook that piece. So you can just throw it in there anytime. Dude, it's for you. It's the perfect bachelor deal.
Yeah, it's like, oh, man, because I don't shop for a whole lot all at once. But, man, if I'm going and grabbing dinner, and get the oven ready so that I can just go home and throw it in.
Scan it and go.
That sounds awesome.
So that'll be good. So one of the things, too, I wanted to talk about here, this is kind of the first segment of the show here I wanted to dive into. Dealing with insurance companies and how to deal with them with water and storm damage. And I've got nothing against insurance companies, but as we know, they are not just really easy to throw money at you.
Yeah, and most people, that's not something they're too keen on really getting out there and doing is making sure their insurance company, getting, you know, having that good line of communication.
Exactly. So, you know, if you've got water damage, let's say you had the ice maker break or the washing machine hose broke and you come home and you've got a house full of water. The first thing you want to do, to be honest, is one, get the water turned off, stop the damage from getting worse. And to be honest, I would, if it's small, get as much water off the ground as you can. If you've got that shop vac, get the dirt out of it, take the cover off of it, make it ready, and get as much water up as you can, and then have your significant other, friend, or whoever is with you call the insurance company, because you need to get a water restoration company out there to get things dried out. Because you've got about 48 hours before the mold starts growing.
Mm-hmm. And you start getting damage.
And as soon as you realize it's happened, the clock has already been ticking.
And you don't know for how long.
No. So that's the thing. You need to get on that quickly. So the faster you can get on it, the faster you get people out there, the better off you are. And I know a lot of people are like, oh, I can go rent a dehumidifier. And you can, but you need to bring the experts in, because I want them to test stuff. I want them to, when they're done, to make sure I got zero mold that I'm dealing with.
Yeah. Well, I mean, just especially if it's water damage, you don't know if it's seeped down and what kind of damage you might have underneath the surface there.
You know, I mean, if you probably, if you have hardwood floors, those are going to get buckled quickly.
Yep.
And they don't really come back. I mean, it's probably 10% of the time I've seen buckled hardwood floors kind of chill back out again. But it's rare for them to do that. Once they're buckled, you've got some buckle to it. And now you got to replace it or sand it down or refinish it. So either way, you've got a fairly big problem to deal with. Nobody wants to deal with that.
No.
Nobody wants to deal with that. So that's the first one. But, you know, the first thing I want you to do before you even that, you need to communicate with your insurance company, because let's say you've been doing your DIY projects around your house, right? I got this fixed up and cleaned up. Mm-hmm. I got all this taken care of. Are you communicating with them on the work you're doing to your house? Especially if you got a fixer-upper.
Probably not.
Probably not. Probably forgot about that. Because probably it's coming out.
You're more focused on the project.
You are. So what happens is if a year or two down the road, you can be grossly underinsured for your house. So think about that. I just did all this work to the house, all my blood, sweat, and tears, and I might not be able to replace that if I had damage. Let's say I had a house fire. Maybe we had something going on that was bad, a flood. Can you replace it for that?
Probably not, because you didn't tell the insurance company that you put it in the first place.
Exactly. Exactly. Now, and that's one thing to think about, too, is replacement value. And that's one of the things that I really want people to think about. Because your house might only be worth X, right? Can you build it and replace it for that? Those are two different numbers. Great example. You can have a house like my brother's, this big, historic, awesome house in Yakima, Washington.
Mm-hmm.
It costs a lot more to put that back in than it would be to build a house back on there or restore it.
Even the same house?
Yeah, because, well, the way it's built and stuff, you'd have to re-engineer things because you have to bring it all up to current code. So there's a lot of questions that I want you to ask if you've got an older home, because those are things that can really bite you. Is asbestos and lead paint covered? Are you going to pay that out of your own pocket? Who's doing that for you? So there's a lot of these things that I want you to be very careful with, because when you go pull a building permit to replace and fix that, let's say you have a kitchen fire, you're putting a new kitchen in, you might need three or four new circuits. We've talked about this stuff
just
before.
To get it up to code.
Just to get it up to code. So nothing is grandfathered in almost every situation with that. As soon as you start opening up stuff,
yeah,
you got to get it updated.
Well, that's the way it works. If you have the opportunity to fix it, they're going to make you fix it. If you have a fire and you've got to go back in and replace things, then that's your time that they're going to make you fix it.
Exactly. So make sure your insurance covers those kind of things, because this can be super expensive. Now, one other thing before we go out to break that I want you to be careful of is secondary deductibles. Sometimes you will have a deductible for your insurance, but if you've got earthquake or flood insurance, you've got a different higher deductible for those.
Yeah.
So make sure that you understand what those are. Don't just get flood and earthquake insurance, but understand what those deductibles are for everything. It's kind of like health insurance. You know, my health insurance, I've got my regular deductible, but for physical therapy, like for my hand, that's a different deductible.
Yep.
So make sure that you've got these other things covered. That way you know what you're doing.
Yeah, you got a good
You know what your
mindset.
Risks are. And quite frankly, if you're out comparing, you know what those things are. So that's the big part right there. Hey, when we come back, we're going to be talking here more about flood insurance, earthquake insurance, a little bit about that stuff that I want you to think about, because I want to make sure you're covered on your project, because that way if something bad happens, you can actually get compensated correctly and bring it back to where it was. We'll talk about that just as soon as Around the House returns. I want to introduce you to our new sponsor on Around the House with Eric Cheat. I absolutely despise having to carry water softener salt and load it up. Well, if you're like me, then I have a solution for you. Check out NaturalSoft. NaturalSoft solves those hard water issues using a catalytic process. And when you combine it with one of their filtration systems, you now have a complete water treatment system for you and your family. For clean, soft water you can depend on from NaturalSoft, head to solosalescompany.com. Check the podcast show notes for details and make sure and tell them Eric G. sent you. Welcome back to Around the House with Eric G. This is where we talk home improvement every single weekend. And if you catch us on the podcast, you know we do it during the week as well. I'm Eric G.
I'm Dane Vodder.
We've been talking a lot about, you know, insurance companies.
Protecting
here.
Yourself.
Protecting yourself. Making sure that your investment is well protected, because that's part of the deal, you know. And first off, though, I do want to give out some information, though. Make sure you hit us up on Facebook. Around the House with Eric G. That's kind of our main social media thing. And I'll be honest, I have kind of slowed down our Twitter stuff.
Yeah.
Just because, man, it's getting to be pretty heated stuff over there. And we're a home improvement show, and we're not getting into that stuff. So
exactly.
I don't want to get into a fight. So we're going to stay mostly on Facebook. And you can join us on Around the House Nation. That is our closed group where we get to play really nice with each other. And we've got tons of experts. And you can post your project up there and get tons of help and encouragement as well.
Yeah.
And even some bragging rights. So throw that stuff up there.
Even if you don't have a question and you just want to show off, that's what the group's for. Our only rule there, and we've had to somewhat enforce it over the last couple weeks,
yep,
is no politics.
Exactly. So we've done pretty good with that. That's the hard and fast rule, no politics. And everybody has to be kind to each other.
Exactly.
And be good humans. As Steve Pringle would say, rest his soul. But anyway, that's one of those things that we really, really are trying to have some fun with. And every week, I mean, we get everything from crazy little memes to It's just a lot of fun.
There's a lot of jokes, showing off projects, asking questions, wondering what you're supposed to do. People put up pictures of like, oh, I don't know what to do with this.
Yep.
Boom, we've got 20 comments right there. Eric's one of them, usually, always.
Yeah, so. And the cool thing is, too, is we've got a lot of experts from a lot of different areas out there. And that's the fun part. I mean, we've got world-renowned architects. We've got, you know, some of the best lighting designers in the world.
Plumbing masters.
Landscape architects. I mean, it's crazy. I mean, I remember when we first kind of got it going, There was a guy having he was putting up trying to reuse a concrete CMU block wall.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm like, this is what made me happy. I looked down and somebody that I know in the industry who is the architect for the Air and Space Museum in New York City, he's the one telling this guy what to do with the block.
That you get that kind of assistance and help.
And I'm like, that is so cool. I love this. And so it's a lot of fun, you know. And then you've got our friend David Applebaum that'll always chime in. And I'm like, okay, now you've got, you know, the architect that's designed Frank Sinatra's house.
To the stars.
To the stars, you know. You know, he's done who's who of Hollywood. And he's telling you, well, why don't you try doing this?
Or have you, and asking you questions and being like, well, what do you think about that? Or, you know, it's you don't have that kind of resource almost anywhere else.
Yeah, it's super cool and it's free. Yeah. So that's the cool part. So, all right, well, let's get back to talking about kind of deal with an insurance companies, water, storm damage and all that stuff, because this is important. You know, make sure if you're in a flood area that you've got flood insurance. And, you know, you can take a look. It's pretty easy to figure out what zone you're in. There are different zones for your house, what they consider are FEMA flood zones.
Mm-hmm.
Like my house here, I'm kind of on a hill. If we flood my house where I'm located, I mean, we're building an ark because we are in biblical flood stuff.
You would need multiple feet of standing water.
Hundreds of feet of standing water over Portland. The way this goes to get there. So I'm good. But I had a house that was 4 years ago that was right by the Tualatin River that if it went up 30 feet, guess what? I was in trouble.
You were threatened.
Yes, I was in trouble. So those are things that I just want you to think about what zone you're in. I am in the lowest zone possible on a FEMA zone. So take a look at that. That'll help you kind of decide. And more importantly, there are maps for every square inch of the United States.
So do you have flood insurance?
I don't, because
for
me, the risk of that happening
seems like a long shot, to say the least.
Do I have earthquake insurance?
I'm sure you do.
Dang straight I do.
Because of where we live.
Yep. So these are things that I just want you to think about. Do you have hurricane insurance? Are you covered for a hurricane?
Yeah, East Coast or Southeast USA, absolutely.
Where are you at? If you get a Category 4 hitting you on the coast, are you ready for that?
Are you covered? And is your house even? I mean, I've seen, there's so many aftermath pictures that I've seen of some houses are there and some are all
the way worked in
the
news for
gone.
A while. Yeah. It's like, okay, I think that was my property because I recognize the foundation footprint for the garage, right? I mean, that's about as bad as that stuff can be. So now here's a new one that we want to talk about here before we go out to break here in a few minutes. Be careful of business personal property. So if you're working from home and you've got the server for your company there and you've got the company computers and stuff, You might not be covered. There are limits to what your business stuff can be in your home. And you need to find that out, because if you're working from home and you've got a couple that's working from home and they've got two business computers there, maybe a couple printers, you know, monitors, their work desk, all that stuff, that actually might not be covered by your insurance, because your insurance company is assuming that your employer is insuring that, has got insurance coverage on that. So you need to make sure that you're navigating, now that you're working from home, that stuff is actually covered, because that technically should be under maybe, I say maybe, every situation's different, a business insurance plan. So be careful with that.
Now, even if it's, say, like you kind of started off saying, like you have the server, if it's your own business and you're working from home. And
you got to be careful. You might need a business insurance for that too.
Okay.
For me, I've got power tools, lots of different power tools. And that I have a special insurance writer for, because I wanted to make sure that stuff was covered and noted.
under business because this is what you do.
Yeah, absolutely. So those are things that you want to make sure that you've got that stuff spelled out. And that's a big one. And especially in these times where so many people are working from home, you might not have that stuff fully covered. So just make sure that you've got the right writers. You make sure you got, you know, that conversation with your employer. Last thing I want you to do is have some kind of damage and all of a sudden you're in trouble because now you're having to foot the bill for the stuff that was in your home office.
That's not yours.
Yeah, your insurance company might not cover it. All right, guys, when we come back, more of Around the House just as soon as we return. You know two things only get
better with time. Women and wives. Hey, this is Farewell Angelina. And you're listening to Around the House with Eric G. It goes down so smooth.
Gold in this glass, 'cause that color red never looks so good, so good. Let's pour gold in this.
Welcome back to Around the House with Eric G. This is where we talk home improvement, home technology, interior design, all that stuff, coast to coast, every single weekend. Thanks for joining us. I'm Eric G.
I'm Dane Vodder.
And make sure you head over to Facebook. That's kind of our main stop on social media. Around the House with Eric G. While you're there, ask to join Around the House Nation. That is our cool little closed group where we share, have a great time. It is the home improvement DIY party house.
Absolutely. We also have the website. That is aroundthehouseonline.com. We've got, that's where the podcast gets put up straight away. We've got our store there where you can get an Around the House coffee mug or maybe a hat. Also, we want you to hear your questions, and we want to answer them on air, because odds are the question that you have, somebody else listening has that question as
no
well.
No question.
No question. No, well, we want all the questions.
Oh, yeah, you're right. All questions. All questions. No question.
Our number here is 971-233-8992. Give us a call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, even in the middle of the night. Leave us a message. Let us know when a good time to call you back is. Eric will call you back. We'll record it. We'll get you into next week's show.
You got it. That's how this works. We've been talking about dealing with insurance companies on your house. And, you know, sometimes it's not a pleasant experience. A couple more things I want to do before we get on to the next subject here is just to think about, you know, they do have public insurance adjusters out there, which are kind of third party, you know, licensed experts that help navigate that. So if you're dealing with their person and it's not going well, that might be one way to go. Do your research, find somebody that is, you know, in good standing, shall we say. And then the other thing I just want you to think about is many states have a state insurance commission that regulates the insurance industry. If things are not going well and you're either going to attorney up and go that route, yeah, or you can talk to the state insurance commissioner and sometimes they can step in without having to pay lawyer's fees. But many times, if you step into that realm, then as soon as you get an attorney in, they usually go, no, we're not helping anymore. You got an attorney. So just be careful when you navigate those kind of things.
Be aware that that might happen too as you move forward in this process.
Absolutely. And I do have a cool little resource too. And if you are fighting insurance companies or most likely bad contractors, feel free to message us. We do have resources out there, mm-hmm, of great attorneys around the country that are experts in construction defect stuff. So we're not going to give out names because we don't really need to, but feel free to send us a message and we'll help you out with that.
Yeah, head over to Facebook or also to kind of go back to aroundthehouseonline.com. You can go to contact us, write us an email if you don't necessarily want to be on the radio.
Absolutely, and we can kind of keep that discreet and navigate through that. Well, one of the things I want to talk about, because we've kind of gotten through the holidays now, and we're now in the midst of the heavy part of winter for most places, and everybody's packing away the clutter stuff, the holiday ornaments, all that stuff.
Yep.
You know, it's that time that people are thinking about kind of getting rid of clutter and coming up with stuff. So storage space is always a premium for people.
Absolutely.
You know, and I've always railed on sitting there trying to have people, sorry, people in the storage industry out there. I'm sorry if you have storage units, but think about the stuff that you're putting in a storage unit and what that $100 or $200 a month is going to cost you. Is the stuff that goes in there worth that?
Well, and you, you're speaking from experience. I recall you very recently cleared out a storage unit and said, nope, I'm not paying for this anymore.
This summer, I started looking at it. I'm like, you know, I can donate the stuff in there. The stuff that can't be donated can go to the dump. I'll have $100 in refuse fees to get rid of this stuff. after I've donated the rest, and I'm not paying $200 a month for a 10 by 20 storage unit.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't need it. Now, with my design business, yeah, I did.
Well, yeah, because that's mainly what it was.
It was a bunch of cabinets and
whatnot.
It was all that stuff, you know? And so now I've been just slowly getting rid of stuff. I brought stuff over here. I've got a couple items still left that I need to clear out, but most of the stuff I've got is stuff that I'm going to be keeping, you know? Yeah, except for all the new stuff that I have coming in that I got to get rid of. So now it's...
Where are you going to put it when you bring it in?
I'm going to be swapping it
in the studio.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, see that brand new washer and dryer?
Yes, sir.
That's going away. Got a brand new washer and dryer coming.
Wait, but what about the other one? This one's still brand new.
It's still brand new. Well, that's got to go out because I've got the new latest and greatest.
Okay, well, what are you doing with these?
Well, that's probably going to go up on Facebook Marketplace. See, okay. We'll talk about that. And then, you know, my refrigerator in there. Got a new refrigerator coming in.
Yep.
So that's coming over here. So anyway, I'm going to do the, you know, I was talking about that with my, you know, great example. We're a little side subject here on clutter, but I'm not going to be keeping all these different appliances in here. And great example, you know, I've got this Amana beer fridge right here that's in mm-hmm. here. Hey, it's awesome. It's also costing me twice as much as the one in there.
A lot of energy.
That one's going down the road.
Yeah.
Because my indoor side-by-side's coming out here is my new beer fridge.
All of those, the old school beer fridges just got to go.
Man, they cost you more money than you think they do. So that's just one of those things you got to be really, really careful with. All right, well, let's get back to clutter, getting rid of clutter.
Where are you going to put all this stuff?
I know it. See, got to get it out of here. One of the biggest things that mistakes people make is attic storage. And I wanted to really cover this and take some time with this because you've got your 2x4 trusses, pre-manufactured trusses or framing that's your ceiling up there, right? And you don't think about it because maybe you've got sheetrock there and maybe it's been storage up top, you know, all those kind of things. And people generally overload all of that space.
Well, they have no idea how much they could actually put up there. And they're, like you said, they're only 2x4 trusses.
Like in my garage right here, I've got a couple hundred pounds up there. I have no drywall. It's just sitting up there. It's like molding and
it's in rafters,
stuff up there.
Basically.
It's in rafters. It's sitting up there. The problem is you think about it, many times this garage is the same way for people, but there's two layers of 5/8 sheetrock up there as a fire barrier.
Mm-hmm.
Well, great. Now you have 500 pounds sitting up there.
You can't put more.
There's not much more room up there weight-wise because you got to have some snow load in our area in case we get heavy snow up on top. You mm-hmm. got that? I'm maxed out before I put anything up there. So it's not a good place for that. So really, at that point, you've got to turn around and either go out and put it in a storage shed or engineer that space up there to be able to take that extra load.
Well, and you just, again, since you've moved into this house, it's not too difficult to get a standalone storage shed to put somewhere, to find somewhere to put it, and that really kind of helps you have just a space to where you can consolidate all of the stuff that you typically just have thrown up into attics or into a closet.
Yeah, I mean, I got old records and, you know, moldings and stuff in here that I was going to throw away, but it's going to get reused when we do some other stuff, you know, some of the old moldings out of this house, and I'm not going to go pay to replace that we're in good shape. And, you know, some of those things like that, you know, and that's stuff that can go in a storage shed, and storage sheds are a very affordable way to go. And it's a great DIY project. And more importantly, you don't even have to go get building codes in almost every area if you get a reasonably sized one.
Yeah. As long, and especially if it's just like freestanding and not, you know, bolted or attached to anything.
Yeah. If you're not attaching it to the house or doing anything crazy with that, you know, and enclosing areas on your house, man, it's so easy. And if you want to tackle it, you can build your own. I mean, you can go to your home center. You can, you know, there's the Tough Shed guys across the country,
mm-hmm.
you know, and they'll come out and build that shed right here. So, I mean, it's really a lot of different ways of doing it, but you need to also pay attention to how you do it in your area. Great example. When you're thinking sheds and you're thinking storage, if you're down in Texas and you get hail all the time, maybe one of those metal, sheet metal
roof
sheds are not the best for that because mm-hmm. those things on the first hailstorm get a little ratty when they get beat up, you know? So maybe that's not the best answer. Maybe you want to do something with an architectural roof on it or something that's got a stronger roof on it. If you're in a high wind area, you need to really pay attention to what you're doing.
You don't want that shed to blow over.
No, no. And I've had some bad experiences with that. So that's one of the things that I really kind of want to start talking about a little bit more here this spring, too, on some planning ahead for storage. But now that we're kind of in storage season, you can always tell it's storage season because you look at the home center ads that show up every week, and or you walk into the big box store and all you see is you don't see the Christmas stuff up there anymore. It's that's all long gone. It's containers and totes.
For me, anytime in between the holidays and spring cleaning, that is the perfect time to kind of get your storage situation figured out and know what you want to do, because that's only going to help you come when you start doing that spring cleaning and real deep cleaning in the home.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's one of the things, and I have to give Julie a lot of credit. She has helped me really pare stuff down. I mean, I had before a packed three-car garage full of stuff.
Yeah, you did.
It wasn't disorganized. No, it was just a lot of stuff. And now we're sitting here in my two-car garage, and we've got the studio in here before I had my own office. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's been a process, and I'm still paring it down, but it's good to get clutter out. And that's one of the things we're going to talk about here in this next segment, is really kind of eliminating clutter around your house and getting rid of those things that maybe you don't need. For me, moving every couple of years has been the best clutter reducer, because I look at it and say, hey, if I have to get rid of it, I've got stuff that I had still wrapped up in the shrink wrap from the last time I moved, I guarantee I don't need it.
Obviously not.
I mean, that's really how that works. So that's one of those things that if you haven't touched in a couple of years, there's a decent chance you might not need it. Now, I have no problem holding on to sentimental things.
Of course.
But we're not talking hoarders here either.
We've covered that before.
Absolutely. All right, when we come back, more of Around the House with Eric G. And we're going to talk a little bit more about getting rid of that clutter just as soon as Around the House returns. Welcome back to Around the House with Eric G. This is your home improvement source every single weekend, coast to coast, every weekend here on the podcast or the radio, depending on where you're catching us. You can find everything about Around the House over at aroundthehouseonline.com. I'm Eric G.
I'm Dane Vodder. We got you covered from the sidewalk to the back fence.
You got it. And anything in between there, we can help you with in the house. Relationship advice? Not a chance.
No.
I'm the wrong guy for that.
I mean, you could ask, but I don't know that we'll give you good advice.
No. I've probably paid more to divorce attorneys over the years than I have for houses. So,
and I've never even been married, much less divorced. So I'm not the person to go to.
Wrong show. Anyway, we're talking home improvement and clutter. What about clutter in your life? That stuff that collects everywhere. And I wanted to take this last segment of this hour to really talk about that, because it tends to grow just kind of like the grass does. It sneaks up on people.
Mm-hmm. You don't pay attention to it, and next thing you know, you're a hoarder.
Absolutely. And as a designer who's done that for 30 years, I have had plenty of hoarders that I've ran into when I get called out to houses. And you go, so they want to remodel a house that's been a hoarder house? Absolutely. Absolutely. It is shocking the stuff that you find when they want you to come out and put in these brand new countertops, but there's no way to get back to the bathroom without
just can't get
climbing
there. Yeah.
You know? And so that's really bad. That's the extreme. That's where you've got a medical mental health condition that needs to be resolved, and it's not really a house condition. So that's for the psychology show,
there is a line between having sentimental objects and hoarding, but still with those sentimental objects, it has a home and you need to find a home for it or make a home and be able to put it in its place.
My rule of thumb in a house on a normal day, not if you're moving stuff around or you're doing stuff. If you have a room in your house that you can't see what color the carpet is, you can't get back into, you are walking the fine line of starting to have a problem.
I mean, so just personally, I have a room because I live in a two-bedroom, but sure. I live alone.
Yep.
That second bedroom is a storage room.
Storage room is different.
Okay.
If it's all boxed up, nice up in there, it's great. If you walk in and it looks like it was a storage room that had an IED go off in it, different story.
I mean, my fake tree is just laying on the floor.
Yeah, that's okay, though.
Okay. I'm just checking.
Yeah, I mean, seriously, I mean, I've been in hoarder homes, and it's wild. And this is the extreme of clutter. You know, I've walked into ones, and I'm going to be very careful not to step on anybody's toes on this. This was a number of years ago, but I walked into a house, and they had 6 feet of stuff in it everywhere.
Kitchen
countertops,
ceiling.
Everywhere. Wow. It was, and what was weird was they had a wall of probably 10 feet of curio cabinets with the same figurine in them, all perfectly faced up, lit, beautiful. And that was fun.
But I mean, that's everything a collection. Else,
it was a collection of the same thing. So anyway, those are the things that you have to be careful with. But really, when we're getting down to clutter,
we're talking about trash and
yeah, you know. I mean, look, you know, here's the thing. If you're going to go sell your house, that's the first thing the realtor is going to tell you. Let's lighten the load in here a little bit, you know. And we are a society of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Materialistic, we are.
Very. And it's, you know, I battle with this as well, making sure. And Julie's good, but she's also almost on the other side sometimes. She gets rid of things that maybe she should have held on to,
mm-hmm.
you know. And those are things that I always have to go, are you sure? Are we going to do this? No problem. But, you know, for me, being a guy in home improvement, I tend to hold on to stuff. Oh, that's a piece of square tubing that I can use on a future project.
I could.
It could. It goes into the bin. It's good. But there are stuff that, you know, I do get a lot of satisfaction of going to donate stuff or even more going to the landfill to get rid of stuff.
Well, and to touch back on something that you mentioned earlier in the hour, you've had things that are literally wrapped up and have been wrapped up since you moved into your previous house. At that
it's gone.
You're not going to use it. You're obviously, you have no real world application to use whatever that was. I don't even know what it was. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It hasn't been opened. It hasn't been touched in 2 years. What are you still doing with it? You could sell it. You could turn that into some money.
Well, and that's the thing. And so here's my little tips for going through this. If you've got that shed that's overly filled, if you've got the storage unit that has too much stuff, or even that spare room in your basement that's just got too much stuff in it, here's my solution to go through it. I mean, really, you've got things that you want to sort out. That's your seasonal stuff. Maybe your Christmas lights, your holiday lights, whatever you're doing there.
Yep.
Those seasonal things. But you need to go through everything from the box of old coats that you haven't worn in 2 years. How many coats and jackets do you need?
Absolutely. Well, and odds are in the last 5 years, you've probably gotten more. What do you still need the one from a decade ago for?
Correct. Pare that stuff down. Get it within reason. How much do you need? That can really reduce the load around your house. And it actually ends up looking better. And it's easier to keep clean because you just have less stuff in it. You know, garages are horrible. You know, when was the last time you used that tennis racket?
How many sets of sockets do you have?
Yeah, well, I'm going to collect the tools.
I'm just saying.
But I've also pared my tools down. I went through and went, you know, I don't need 2 corded drills. I need 1 corded drill that I still don't use, but I still have it just in case.
Now, it's different if, say, that you're a contractor or something and you've got 1 for the job site and 1 for home. That's totally understandable. That's not what we're talking about.
And I'm okay with having a dozen 10-millimeter sockets because you're going to lose 11.
Okay. I'm just saying.
That's a socket joke. But anyway, it just comes down to balance. And by getting rid of that stuff, going through box by box, and maybe one thing that I learned as a little kid when you're trying to clean up and organize, take a little area and dive into it.
Mm-hmm.
Take that area and go, okay, I'm going to clear out this corner today.
Well, especially if it's to the point where you feel overwhelmed. And I've been there. Like, I'm totally this person where it's like, nope, it's too much. I just can't deal with it. I'm not. And it just gets put off. And I totally understand that. But starting with just a small section, get that organized, get things put into their home, mm-hmm. and then you can move on to the next section and just bit by bit.
Yep. One of my weekends here, after I get through all my NHB stuff, is I'm literally going through my toolboxes and I'm completely reorganizing them, including the walls of the garage in here. I am going to do a massive overhaul because I've got to get some of the projects done here that have filming deadlines and everything else. Once I get through these filming deadlines, I'm going to go through and do a purge as well on that stuff, because it just has to happen. And you really need to do this every 6 months to a year to go through it. So make sure you tackle those areas and get it cleaned up a little bit and lighten the load.
And it takes time, but that's okay.
Little chunks will give you the feeling of progress that might motivate you to do more. All right, that's we're out of time for this hour.
This hour went by quick.
All right, let's go back and talk to our friends at CES, the Consumer Electronics Show, just as soon as Around the House returns.
Hey, it's Eric G from Around the House. Are you planning a decking or siding project this year? If you are, you've got to check out my friends at Millboard. Millboard is a completely different kind of composite decking and cladding that enhances outdoor spaces with enduring distinction. Hand molded from the finest oak, it realistically mimics the natural grain and color of premium hardwood. If you're looking for something that doesn't look like plastic and instead real wood, check out Millboard.com. Make sure and check out that interview we did just a few weeks back. That's Millboard.com.